Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'd ask you to please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, and our text is just the first two verses this week. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is God's word. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. The Apostle Paul has spent 11 chapters telling us about the grace of God. He has shown us that while the law never provided a means for us to be justified in God's sight, it did show us our need for the Savior. He has shown us in the first 11 chapters that God provided Jesus not as a backup plan, not as another attempt, but as the fulfillment of what had been promised from the beginning. The law was to point to our need for Jesus, and Jesus came and did what the law could not do. By His death, He paid the penalty for our sin. He was buried and He rose again from the dead as conqueror over death, never to die again. As a consequence, we who are in Christ are reconciled to God. We're not estranged from Him. We're no longer on some sort of probation like we might think of in our minds. We are eternally reconciled to God. And in the process of being changed by Him. So this is God's doing, and the righteousness that we need only comes through God's grace. So now as we begin the second part of the book of Romans, it's about our response to what God has done. And that's the first point this morning. The fact that this matter of being a living sacrifice is not something we do in order to save ourselves. It's not something we do in order to earn our rank with God. It is a response to what God has done. Notice what Paul says. Therefore, what for? In light of what's gone before. As many Bible teachers will remind you, whenever you see the word therefore, you need to ask, what is the therefore, therefore? It is to remind you of what has gone before. So therefore, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in light of what God has done for you, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It is a response to what God has done. Now let me tell you, if you are hoping that you're going to earn God's favor, you are still in need of salvation. If you think that there's something you can do to justify yourself, to make yourself good enough, you still have not received His grace. The church in Galatia was given the strongest rebuke of any church in Paul's letters. I personally, recovering Pharisee that I am, would have been much easier on the Galatians and much harder on the Corinthians. I mean, the Corinthians had all kinds of problems. Corinthians were suing each other, they were getting drunk, they were being sexually immoral. Paul rebukes all of that, but not as strongly as he rebukes the Galatians. Well, what were the Galatians doing? They were trying to justify themselves in God's sight. Well, what did they try to do to justify themselves in God's sight? They gave in to legalism. There were people who told them, if you really want to be a Christian, you've got to be a Jew first. If you really want to be a Christian, you've got to keep the law. If you really want to be a Christian, this is what you have to do in order to make yourself right with God. And the Apostle Paul writes to them, he says, if you accept that, you're cut off from Christ. Not because circumcision is evil, but trying to justify yourself in God's sight is evil. My preacher, when I was a teenager, used to say from the pulpit on numerous occasions, God forgives sins, not excuses. If you want to try and explain to God why what you're doing really shouldn't be a problem, I know it's not perfect, but, you know, you're in bad trouble. If you're trying to explain to God that you had no choice, I had no alternative. It was the only thing I could do under the circumstances. You're trying to justify yourself. But if you come to God and say, as the man in the story that Jesus told, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, that is a person that God forgives. He will not despise a broken and contrite heart. So don't try to justify yourself. Don't try to earn your salvation. The first 11 chapters of Romans make it very, very clear that is not only futile, it is evil. Because it doesn't just downplay the seriousness of our sin. It downplays the holiness of our God. God is infinitely holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And when we realize how great he is, we realize how utterly sinful we are and how impossible it is for us to do anything that would balance the scales. One of the groups we got to speak with in various places during this trip was people of the Muslim faith. Muslims believe and are taught that the good they do needs to outweigh the bad. And if they can tip it, if they can get it up to 51%, then they're in. Okay? You always got to be careful you don't blow it toward the end, you know? So, got to be careful. But if the good outweighs the bad, then you're in. That's not only a lie, it is an absolutely futile thing. Because you might think you've got a bunch of stuff over here on the good side that actually, because of the prideful, self-righteous attitude you have about that stuff, is counting on the bad side. We joke about the preacher who was given a medallion for his humility by his congregation. They loved him so much, thought he was such a great guy. They gave him a medallion for his humility and then had to take it away from him because he wore it. You know, we have just a marvelous capacity to mess ourselves up. And the fact of the matter is, the only righteousness we have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. So don't think you're ever going to be able to pull it up. But in response to God's mercy, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That's the reason for it. That's the purpose.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So the first thing, to say it again for the fifth time, offering yourself, offering your body as a living sacrifice to God is not something you do to earn favor with God. It is a response to the mercy and grace that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. That's point number one. Point number two is the fact that it is practical, not theoretical. Notice he says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That kind of makes it real, doesn't it? See, if I can sort of stay where I am, do what I'm comfortable with, but in my heart, I love God, then I can con myself into thinking that all is well when it's not. Surrendering your life to Christ is not a matter of passivity. It is a matter of obedience. And so to offer my body as a living sacrifice means being willing to go anywhere. I mean, in other words, my body has to go. Yes, I am with you. Do you remember how Bill Clinton used to tell us he felt our pain? I've concluded he didn't really. I mean, you know, you can talk about your solidarity with people, but if you're not there, it's not the same. So when we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, we're willing to go wherever God sends. We're willing to do whatever God tells us, even if it involves pain. I would say discomfort, because that's about as far on the scale as I like to go. But it may not just be discomfort, it may be pain. Pain. How could God possibly want His children to go through pain? Well, think of what Jesus went through. Not just on the cross, but He was mocked and ridiculed, despised, spit upon. But it's what was needed. In fact, the Bible says He learned obedience through the things that He suffered. That wasn't just at the cross. It wasn't just the last few days. He had a lifetime. He was able to say to someone who said, I want to follow you, I want to be your disciple. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. You want to follow Jesus? Jesus says, if you would be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. See, the thing about a living sacrifice is it's not just a one-time commitment. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, you like to take decisive actions that resolve things and get them over with. I don't want to cut off the puppy's tail an inch at a time. That's not kindness. Right? I just want to get it resolved. Okay, if this is going to be a bobtail, it's done. Now, we don't do that anymore. The problem with being a living sacrifice, as numerous people have said, is that a living sacrifice keeps crawling off the altar. Right? I mean, one day you're on your knees and saying, have thine own way, Lord. The next day it's like, oh, that looks interesting. God has to call us back again and again and again, and day after day we have to say no to ourselves. Hardest person for me to say no to is me. Because I have so many great ideas and wonderful ways of rationalizing them. And yet time after time after time, I find that God's ways are not my ways. And I have to say, yes, Lord. You are my Lord. I am your servant. I'll do what you say. I'll go where you send. I'll say what you tell me to say. This is not something that happens automatically.
Well, I think, you know, once you're a Christian, you're just kind of oriented toward doing the right thing.
Well, think again. The Apostle Paul says, I urge you. The King James, the version I originally learned this passage in, I beseech ye, therefore, brethren. I plead with you. I urge you to do this. You wouldn't have to be urged to do it if it happened automatically. Death to self is never automatic, or for that matter, even easy. You have to be determined that you're going to choose to do the will of God. I can't remember the exact dollar amount. I think it may have been $35. If I will send $35 to the Republican National Committee, they will put my name on a brass plaque in a hallway somewhere in America. Okay? Maybe in a storage facility, I don't know. They showed a picture of a hallway that had carpeting. That was enough for me. I clicked trash. Not because I'm anti this or anti that. I just, you know, I know what will happen. If I send that gift, I will then be subjected to 10 emails a day from that committee instead of 3. Right? Do you know what happens with God? He's not satisfied with just one commitment. Yes, all right, I've done that. My name's on the wall. No. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, God will ask you over and over and over and over to do things that don't come naturally.
Well, now, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he will never ask you to do things that are not in keeping with your personality.
I've heard that from preachers for decades. That's hogwash. Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. The idea that Christianity is a matter of take up your cushion and follow me? No. Take up your cross and follow me. And it's daily. I love what David Jeremiah says. The hardest thing about the Christian life is that it's so daily. You can't just do it one time. All right, I've resolved it. No, it's ongoing. It's not automatic. It is often painful. But it's a matter of obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15. This is what authentic worship is about. Real, genuine, intelligent worship is about surrendering your body to the Lord. Saying, okay, it's not mine, it's yours. Means you may need to be up later than you intended some nights. It means you may need to get up earlier than you intended some mornings. It may mean being someplace you would not choose to be. Well, can't I just be there in my mind, in my thoughts, in my prayers? If God tells you to go, you go. That's it. You and I have to obey whatever God says and go wherever God sends. It is also countercultural, no matter where you live. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ in Kenya, where most of the people profess to be Christians, you're going to find yourself out of step with most Kenyans. Because even though most of them profess faith in Jesus Christ, they really need to get saved. Okay? And God in His mercy is saving many. It's marvelous. We met some tremendous believers there in Kenya. And some of them, by the way, were children in the Christian school who were very sincere about studying their Bibles and trusting God, even though they live in circumstances that you and I would have a hard time with. Some of them were people who have endured horrible opposition, and yet they are determined to follow Jesus. It will be countercultural to follow Jesus wherever you are. Well, that sounds like a true statement, but is it in the text? Yes. It says, don't allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let the patterns of this world, the values of this world, the pursuits that dominate this world, don't let that characterize you any longer. Please notice that. Verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. That's an indictment of the way that all of us grew up, wherever we lived and whatever year it is.
Back in the 1950s, I think, you know, we had a pretty good culture. Yeah, racism was no problem. Sexual immorality didn't happen in the 50s. Nobody ever got drunk. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you are, God will ask you to live differently than the culture around you, which means differently than what you've been used to. So it is countercultural, whether you're in Kenya or India or Tennessee. But point number three. See, I thought that was at least 11 so far. No, main points. It's our response to God's grace. It is practical, not theoretical, and then we gave some examples of practicality. Point number three, surprise, surprise. It turns out that God's will for you is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, what holds us back from doing this? What is it that keeps us from surrendering ourselves fully to the Lord? Well, we're afraid of what might happen. It might involve pain. It will involve pain. Oh, that's what I was afraid of. No, no, no. Do you know what will happen if you don't surrender yourself fully to the Lord? It will involve pain. You can't escape pain by trying to run from God. That doesn't work. But if you will surrender fully to Him, you will discover that His plan for you is good. And it's acceptable. That means you can live with this. It's acceptable. And, this is the best word of all, it's perfect. The speaker at Urbana decades ago said to the crowd, I was afraid to yield my life fully to the Lord because I thought if I did, I would end up as an old maid missionary to Africa. But finally I decided I couldn't outrun God. And I was just going to go ahead and surrender to Him no matter what. And so I did, and now I'm an old maid missionary to Africa. And I love it. Don't be afraid. I don't know what God's going to call you to do. He may call you to be right here in Ware's Valley. I like it here in Ware's Valley. But I would much rather be lying in an unair-conditioned room under a mosquito net praying that God will send a breeze and knowing that I'm where I'm supposed to be than lying on a comfy bed in a climate-controlled house where even the humidity can be regulated and knowing that I'm not where God has asked me to be. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in light of God's mercy toward you, toward us, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, that means entirely devoted to Him, holy, acceptable to God, because this is intelligent worship. And don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. No longer allow the world to conform you. Instead, be transformed
from the inside out by having your minds renewed by the truth of God's Word. And as you live that way, you will demonstrate that God's will for you is good and acceptable and perfect. Doesn't get better than that. Pain? Yeah, sure. But it's temporary. It's temporary. And the outcome is glory. Think of it. Love, joy, peace. Long-suffering is in the mix. But for love, joy, and peace, no, not just for those things. For Jesus. In light of His mercy, surrender your body to Him.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.